Okay, so welcome to The Infected, a podcast from the heart of darkness. Your hosts Gov and Jeroen select the finest post-punk, new wave, goth, industrial, alternative and dark synth tracks. Regular followers may notice that one of our original trio of presenters is missing. Jan Willem, who was one of the driving forces behind this show, won't be continuing with The Infected, citing a lack of inspiration and motivation on his side. Really, we think it's modesty, because we know that JW is also really busy running a startup and starting a new work gig that is taking a lot of his time, so we understand it's hard to combine all that. And I'm sure Gov will join me in thanking Jan Willem for his contribution. He has been hugely important for this show, and we thank him for his support and many great contributions. Right, Gov?
Absolutely. Nothing to add there. Yes, you should get the credit, and I'm hoping we're going to see or hear him back in one or multiple episodes. Credits to him. He will be dearly missed.
Yeah, definitely. So maybe a cameo sometime or a co-starring. Who knows? Maybe we will be able to
exactly
corrupt him to come back to the dark side.
Sounds good.
Yeah, so in this show, we discuss the stories behind hot new releases as well as classic songs. We bring you interviews with hot active bands, sprinkled with some goth-approved movie tips if you're lucky. So, welcome to Season 2. Thanks for listening and celebrating the night with us. Just to immediately take it one step further, let's talk about today's music, because we have a lot in store for you. So we're going to kick off with a popular section of this show, which is the Insta Outcast. I was just scrolling around looking at alternative artists and I came across Golden Plates. Golden Plates is a band that has very recently released a new single called Oxytocin. And actually, I was blown away by this track. I thought it was so impressive that I immediately tried to get in touch with the guys behind the act. It turned out that Elder Bryson of Golden Plates is responsible for this track. And we got in touch, and I was lucky enough to be able to also interview Elder. And this is a song which has a great story behind it. It's also something that interesting enough that we did this whole interview, and he's explained a lot of things about his motivation, his view on the world, and all kinds of other, you know, really interesting observations, let's put it that way. So the full interview is on our site, theinfected.nl. But I would love to already give you some quotes. For instance, on the band name Golden Plates and the origin of the song.
Oxytocin. I was just about to ask this, Golden Plates, but
yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I asked some friends, is what Elder told us, what I should name my new band when I was living in my co-worker's hobby closet on a camping pad shortly after moving to Utah. And someone snarky said Golden Plates. I thought it was brilliant. I recorded a 4-song EP in that closet with a broken guitar and a $40 microphone. Here I am, dozens of imaginary bandmates later, with a new single, Oxytocin. I was arguing with a friend about whether or not I would upload my consciousness into an upgraded clone body, and if that would then still technically be me. I claimed that the electrical impulses and chemical receptors that make up us are no different than binary code, although slightly more complex. And that transferring consciousness was no different than transferring a photo to a thumb drive. When I said that, everyone got mad at this answer, so I decided to write a song about it.
Hey there, party people. This is Elder Bryson from Golden Plates, and this is our newest single, Oxytocin. Thanks for listening.
Oxytocin.
that you wasted away. You never took another bride. It's just a chemical.
It. I've never heard of it, but I'm glad that you put it on onto my radar and my attention. He's a wild man, this guy. I also checked out the podcast he's hosting and doing some interviews with upcoming acts that he likes. He's active on Instagram. But what I like, and you know I have a soft spot for really loud guitars with some echo, that's what you know. Yeah, it's got that whole vibe that I'm really into. So I liked it. And I also like the fact that he's a bit randy or a little bit dirty around the edges in the last 30 seconds of his song. I'll not repeat it because we try to be a clean podcast. But yeah, it's just a chemical and you're sucking on my beep. You know what I mean?
It's
a bit rough around the edges and the atmosphere is really nice.
Yeah, I think it's hard to corner. I don't know whether you really need to.
Definitely.
But it's somewhere like, I don't know, a psychedelic post-punk or something.
Yeah.
Definitely something I like. And the podcast you mentioned is called I Like Your Style. I Like Your Style with Elder Bryson. It's also on Spotify and other major platforms. I listened to that as well. I really like it because in this Golden Plates band and expression, he's very, you know, rock and roll and a bit cocky. But when he does these interviews, he's really, you know, mellow and really interested in the people he's interviewing.
Yeah, really composed and well thought through.
So there's multiple sides to Elder Bryson, apparently. And I guess we like several of them.
And it's also nice that he took the time to do this intro for us and also gave us a sample that we are obviously stealing and using for later shows.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
So I asked Elder, you know, what the idea behind his music and what his driving force was and what he wanted to achieve with it. And he said he would like people who listen to the music to experience the entire gambit of human emotion. Since there's so much to experience and so many people never even leave home, especially these days. Because, you know, watching Anthony Bourdain on TV is nothing like living him out in the universe. And there's a time and a place for relaxing at home with Netflix, but it is not a lifestyle. At the same time, you know, you can't take any of it with you. It's fleeting.
I'd have to agree. At the same time, I'm hearing our great man making some movie references or sci-fi themes he's picking up.
So I also asked him, you know, where he got his strength from or what the source of his energy was. So I got the answer that it was the strength of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Nah, just kidding.
Yeah, exactly.
Allegedly, Jesus Christ died for your sins, is what he said. But I'm just dying for your entertainment, which is way cooler.
Wow.
He thinks mitochondria is where energy comes from.
Go big or go home. I fucking like this attitude.
So Elder pretty much runs on whiskey and LSD, as well as the thought that maybe if his music can make one person's day just a little less shitty, he's doing something right.
Well, thank you for that. And
we'll drink to that.
Yeah, thank you for that. And we also have one other man later on in the show that really loved drinking and floating away, but I'll save my story for later on. So what I'd like to do now is take you from something really new and fresh that you just shared here and take it back to the early 80s, because that's a time zone that we frequently visit in this podcast. Older listeners know that, and newer listeners, I hope you're prepared, because I think it's about 50-50, actually, sidestepping a bit. But I'm talking about the Shortwave Mystery. It's a band from the early 80s, and most of their music was released on cassette tapes. And it took some digging, because you would be hard-pressed to find any background information on this band. But here we go. In 1983, a guy called Gregory Scoggin formed the band The Shortwave Mystery in Central California. Good guy that he was, he incorporated some of his friends to form the band. I'm saying he was such a nice guy for doing so, because he sadly passed away after a motorcycle accident in 2014. The influences for forming the Shortwave Mystery, the band, he pointed out DAF, Deutsch-Amerikanische Freundschaft. It was a band very well known in Europe. I'm not sure if our English listeners are familiar with them, but it's really like raw post-punk stuff. He also mentioned Der Plan, as well as OMD, Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark, which we covered earlier, and also Depeche Mode. So, all great stuff there that inspired him. And in general, early 80s new wave movement got him to making his own band. So you can expect the right portion of melancholy and melody. After mainly a lot of gigging and making only some demo tapes with one EP that actually put out, so that's not cassette, that's vinyl, it was called Pilots, the band soon faded into obscurity and all members disbanded basically. They were young guys, not over 18. They moved to Central California to attend universities elsewhere. So they were just going off their own ways basically. But Gregory Scoggin didn't. He kept on making music, actually. And luckily for us, because the EP I just mentioned went for big, big bucks on eBay and Discogs, that they reissued their early stuff in 2010. And who was such a nice guy to re-release this? It was Gregory Scoggin himself, because he couldn't just stop. He formed a record label after 25 years or something of doing nothing and just brought it out again. And that's where this track comes from. Without cause.
Welcome to the infected.
So Jeroen, what are your thoughts on this beautiful piece of early 80s work?
Yeah, it definitely has that sound, right? These are the synth and the strings that that were, you know, massively popular. And, you know, it takes you right back. I really like a track. I couldn't say anything negative about it, except that it's maybe a bit too long at 6:33. But yeah, it's definitely, it sounds great. And I was convinced that they were English until you told me they weren't.
No, I just found out by making our show notes and finding some background, yeah. But I absolutely agree. Yeah.
But he has a sort of a British tone. I don't know. He sounds a lot like the guy from Depeche Mode as well. It's also the atmosphere. I don't know. It doesn't sound very American to me. But
it's a British guy that moved to the U.S. But it's definitely Central California. Gregory Scoggin, Mr. Scoggin. It almost sounds like it's Scottish or something. But yeah, I hear you. Yeah.
Well, that's the way you say it, right? You could also say, "Hey, Scoggin."
Scoggin. Yeah, you're right. Texas.
Doesn't sound so English anymore. I don't know, man. But it's a beautiful track, and it has that, I don't know, that atmosphere of the excitement of this age when we just discovered the synthesizer and electronics as the foundation for music, right? Not just an added synthesizer, but really, you know, using a drum machine and getting these layered synths and strings.
Synths as leading instruments.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. And I left out one fun fact, by the way. I thought that he didn't do anything for 20 or 25 years before re-releasing old cassettes. I was doing him short because he was a producer for multiple independent progressive house and trance labels. So Gregory moved on into the techno era and did some stuff there. But he kept on making music, but just behind the scenes. So I didn't want to hold it back on our listeners, just a little bit of final extra info on the Shortwave Mystery. They're on Spotify as well with these reissues. Check them out because there's a lot of great other tracks to be found.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you think there's a lot of nice music from the 80s, but we've pretty much heard it all. And it's great when reissues like this appear and you get, you know, fresh music that you've never heard, which is still coming from this, you know, this age.
Absolutely. So there are, thankfully, there are a couple of labels that are specializing in digging up and unearthing old cassettes and old obscure bands. They're like Minimal Wave Records from New York. You have Dark Entries Records, which is named after a Bauhaus track, obviously, Dark Entries. There are a couple of labels that are doing this. And if you look into them, then you find the other stuff as well, because otherwise it would definitely be hidden forever, that you just said. So thanks for all the people with elbow grease and putting themselves in debt and financing a lot to get all this old stuff out there again for us.
So is it time to move on to our Infected classic?
Let's do so.
Are you an Oasis fan, Gove?
I am. I'm a sucker for that sweet song they had. Is it Wonderwall? Is that Oasis?
Yeah, that's definitely
Oasis.
Yes.
I had my first girlfriend and we played it all the time. Fond memories, my friend.
Yeah, especially if your first girlfriend. Yeah, I can imagine.
Talking about 15, so it's all just like,
Right, they're very sweet innocent, of course, yeah. Yeah, yeah. So have you ever seen the film Green Street with Elijah Wood?
Oh.
Ah, there's a first. A movie you haven't seen. Okay, cool. So there's a link between these two things. And I want to take you a little bit forward in time. Onwards towards 1989, because this track is from 1989 and it's now 30 years old, and it was an improbable success when you consider that this track takes about 42 seconds for the bass line to even begin and get going, and the song itself only really starts after 1.5 minutes. This is now today completely impossible. In the age of Spotify, if you don't have a hook or a catch within 15 seconds, your song is not going to fly in digital. So this is composing from the past, people. And not only does it have this uncommon structure, it also, this song just has 4 lines of lyrics. Although actually, these lyrics manage to get deeper than many songs with 10 times the number of words, which is very impressive to me. So I want to quote those 4 lines to you in advance. And they are, "I don't have to sell my soul. He's already in me. I want to be adored. You adore me." And this I think this is very deep because obviously I don't have to sell my soul. He's already
in the devil or something.
Yeah, it refers to the devil, right? So he's aware of the fact that he's already has evil inside him. And then he says, I want to be adored. You adore me. Mm-hmm. Now, mind you, this is a young band writing what would be the first song of their first album. And they already reflect in depth on the dangers of getting drunk on the attention and the vanity and wanting the attention of being up on stage and even the ultimate loss that may ensue from this evil. Because the singer later said, the song is about sin, how individuals want to be idolized and how we would do anything to attain that goal. And a true artist should never sell his soul and should be careful to preserve the flame of creativity in him. So even before they got out this first record and knew whether they would be successful, this guy was already mindful of not falling into the trap of vanity and losing his creativity and his purity as an artist.
Old soul.
Yeah, definitely. Right? And these guys were 18, 19 years old at the time. Here it is, The Stone Roses with I Want to Be Adored.
Infected Classic. Thank you.
Yeah, I want to be adored. Did you like it, Gove? Did you ever hear this song before?
Jeroen, I've heard of this band, but I've never really heard any tracks by them, or at least not actively. I really, really, really love this track. And I think you're absolutely right when you say that the intro takes a bit of time, but all good things come to those who wait. These guys, even though it's four lyrics in this song, he sings it differently every time. It never gets bored. And the dreamy voice that this guy has at 18 or 19 years old is unheard of. I'm hooked.
And the fun thing is, this is a Manchester band, right? So this was really, really big.
This does sound more American than Manchester. So
it's very much a Manchester
right?
band, actually. They were huge. The band had troubles, multiple egos and characters inside the band. They were able to make a couple of albums after this, but they imploded and never want to talk to each other again and never want to see each other again. But at the time, this made a huge impact. However, the band is mostly forgotten now. They were huge in the early 90s. Just to show you how influential they were, around 2007, music magazine Q voted this song the 32nd in the list of 100 greatest songs of all time. NME magazine placed I Want to Be Adored at number 17 in the list of 50 greatest indie anthems ever. VH2 placed the song at number 1 on a countdown of their top 500 indie songs of all time. And Stylus magazine also included this song's bassline at number 17 in their top 50 basslines of all time. 15 years after they released this record, this was still up in all the charts. The funny thing is, these days, you never hear their name anywhere anymore. And this song even specifically appears on the soundtrack of Michael Winterbottom's film Welcome to Sarajevo. It's part of the soundtrack of the 2005 film Green Street with Elijah Wood. They used it on the fifth season of the American Horror Story in the episode Battle Royale. And finally, the song is also featured quite recently in the Netflix TV series Chambers. So this recognition was there and then, faded away. And these days, I played this song to my daughter who's 19. And she said, that's an interesting band. I've never heard their name and I never heard this song. But I have some friends that are really going to like this. So their star shone brightly for about 15 years, and then it sort of, faded away. And I think it it is worthwhile to pick it back up, also for their influence. Because I want to quote Noel Gallagher, and this is why I referred Oasis. Obviously, Oasis, also coming from Manchester, are just a little bit younger than these guys. And Noel tells us that the day after the Lord Mayor's Parade in Manchester in 1987... Stone Roses played at International. I went there on a date, and they were great, and I've been a fan ever since. In fact, this gig inspired me to start our own band. I was like, woo! Between 1987 and 1989, they were just untouchable. They were the Beatles of that period. When I heard all their songs, they wrote the greatest songs of the late 80s, which sounded so simple and easy to play, that I thought, well, if they can do it, I can definitely do it. So at that time, Noel was just a roadie for another Manchester band, the Inspiral Carpets. Have you ever heard of them?
No, but I just love this background, so keep talking.
It's great, isn't it? Yeah. So he was a roadie for the Inspiral Carpets, and he told us, I remember at a gig once at the university, the keyboard player, Clint Boone, told me to take off my Stone Roses t-shirt when I was stood at the side of the stage. I just thought that was very sad, and I told him it was bad karma on his behalf. I think these bands literally fucking hated each other. And this was actually also a breakthrough alternative rock album, of which Noel said it influenced the people who influenced the people who influenced the people who are influencing people these days. It's that great lineage of the Sex Pistols into the Jam, into the Smiths, into the Stone Roses, into Oasis. And personally, I would add into the Kaiser Chiefs and the Arctic Monkeys. So this is a huge link in that chain of the British rock tradition.
Thanks, Jeroen, for sharing and digging this up for us. Usually people we discuss in this show previously go to Sex Pistols concerts and then start their band.
Yeah.
But it's really refreshing to now have a epic band like Oasis with the Stone Roses as an inspiration source.
Yeah.
Really, tomorrow I'm going to work from home again, but I'm going to do that with a headphone with this album and the albums that they have on repeat probably. It's also now a moment, we're maybe midway or two-thirds of this episode of our podcast. We'd like to introduce a new and certainly recurring topic of this podcast. So we found out that the music we select is interlinked with each other, usually. So in addition to the Insta Outcast, which we started our episode with today, our movie selection, The Big Picture, we'll skip it for this episode and we'll take more time to discuss a really good movie tip next week. But we now introduce The Infected Trifecta. It's a nice alliteration, I'm sure you agree. And we're sure native English speakers know what a trifecta is. But for all other listeners, let me just briefly elaborate. A trifecta is a type of bet you can place at a horse race. You'd have to predict the first three horses to cross the finish line. And to make it even more difficult, you would also have to state the right order in which they cross that finish. Long story, I know, sorry. So we'll start off with this theme. So we're going to select three tracks we're going to play, not with too much talking in between. And the theme for this week is basically up to you to guess, hopefully, because we're going to play three tracks. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about the first one right now. We're really curious what you would come up with that was the theme. We've covered Steve Strange in previous episodes because Steve Strange is the founder of Visage, the band, the synthpop band. But that got me thinking about Richard Strange. And guess what? There's another link with the Sex Pistols. Yes, yes. It's two actually this week. Richard Strange's first band was the Doctors of Madness, formed in 1975. They recorded three influential but non-commercial albums. The band was supported by the Sex Pistols, The Jam, and Joy Division. Quite some acts that supported this band. Richard Strange is also known for some movie appearances, including Batman by Tim Burton, so the early one. Gangs of New York, he was in that. Well, anyway, I don't really care about Richard Strange, and you have never heard of him probably. But the track, it's just great. It sounds like the Yamaha DX7 synth from the 80s. It's got a really raw sound. The mood is great. The build-up is nice. The chorus is catchy. It almost sounds a bit commercial, if it weren't the fact that the lyrics weigh down on the whole. The lyrics are quite political and describe the tragic situation in Syria that suffered a similar fate to Lebanon, actually, in the late 1970s. So it's a lost decade. It's about war. It's about a inactive political world stage. So that's quite heavy, while the music sounds quite light. But let me stop talking and let's enjoy this obscure track, Damascus.
Yeah, Habibi. say the city never sleeps. This one sure looks tired. Outside the bars they shoot the breeze, but it doesn't fan the fire. Sky turn midnight blue, and we'll burn, burn, burn in the shadows. Run, run, run in the heat. We will tear down the walls that tower above and drown in the desert of Damascus. You are the road, you are the map. Your eyes light up my darkness, and we'll burn, burn, burn in the shadows. Run, run, run in the heat. We will tear down the walls of a tower above and drown in the desert of love.
stay close. Please stay close. Back away. Snow outside. Skies is talking. Paris walking.
Thank you.
So, Jeroen, I'm curious to find out what our listeners think the theme was of these three tracks.
Yeah, so they're interconnected, right?
And yes, they are.
It wasn't the producers or any of the musicians this time. It's just it was in the theme, wasn't it?
No, it was a more obvious one. It was in the titles of the tracks. We were talking about cities.
Right, right.
Why not?
Damascus, Paris, LA.
Yeah, it's a bit far-fetched maybe, but it's also fun to have some sort of theme weekly.
And I like listening to the three songs back-to-back like this, you know.
Yeah.
Cut down on the talking a bit, even though I still want to talk about them.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk about them. But
I listened to Damascus and really this song, the bass, it sounded a bit like the typical, you know, Fairlight type of bass that you're hearing.
Yeah.
Frankie Goes to Hollywood and those type of acts.
Absolutely.
But I think this was a bit before then, so you're the synth expert here. Am I hearing that right?
I think we both are. Don't cut yourself short there. But it was mid-80s, so it could be the Yamaha DX7 FM synth bass, but it could also be a Fairlight. But I'm thinking maybe a Yamaha, because those things were a lot cheaper than a Fairlight. The Fairlight, you would have to take a second mortgage on your house to get one of those. But who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, who knows? Yeah, it might be the Yamaha,
I just like the energy. It's almost like a bit of an EBM digital sound to that track, and we just discussed it was kind of commercial sounding, but the lyrics were kind of heavy. But I don't know, just thought I'd pick this out.
Yeah, they got me on the wrong foot by starting with the happy bee, which means darling or lovely one,
kind of sweet
in Arab. So I thought it was a love song at first, and then it turns out to be a bit more grim. But definitely an interesting track, and I like the way that they got these Arab elements into the song.
Me too. And then we have Paris, or Paris.
Black Atlas, yeah.
Black Atlas.
So Black Atlas is a Montreal guy called Alex Fleming, who this was actually another debut, just like the song by the Stone Roses. This was his debut track in 2013, and the track has that dark edge just the way we like it. But you can also hear some R&B influences in it, and it has a really interesting breakbeat arrangement.
Yeah.
So I think it's really impressive for a debut track, but even more so when you consider that this guy made this when he was about 15 years old.
Jeez, 15 in Montreal.
So 15 years old. And you know what happened? The track took the world by storm, and Paris was used for an ad campaign of Louis Vuitton. It was also featured in an ad for a Saint Laurent fragrance. And soon after, Alex was flown out to fashion shows and took part in Alexander Wang's fashion campaign. Talk about a fast track to success.
Is he still alive?
Yeah.
Success at a young age can be challenging.
Devastating.
And dangerous.
Yeah, definitely. Okay,
cool.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Now, so he was really embraced by the world of haute couture and fashion. But his biggest claim to fame actually came with Black Atlas a couple of years later, when Black Atlas was signed to the EXO Republic label of The Weeknd.
Uh-huh.
And his track Sacrifice appeared on the 50 Shades Freed soundtrack. This is the third and final movie in the 50 Shades of Grey trilogy. And then it was issued again on the Pain and Pleasure EP. So that track, I consider it a mainstream and ultimately forgettable track, much less interesting than this debut track, Paris. But that one did generate over 35 million streams all by itself. Once more, proof that sex sells, even today.
Yeah.
There's also an acoustic...
Sex and a bit of pain.
Yeah. I guess, yeah. There's actually also an acoustic piano version of this song, Paris, which shows that Black Atlas is a versatile composer. Because the electronic treatment is interesting and it really augments the track. When you play it on the piano, you hear that the song itself doesn't necessarily need any production tricks. It's definitely a strong composition in its own right. Actually, it's track strong enough to launch a career.
Yeah, which it did. And if you look at this guy, he's quite handsome. So you mentioned some haute couture brands, some fragrances. I can imagine the link, because he's doing, firstly, great music with this track, but also it's a quite good-looking guy. And I must say that I don't trust people that button up their shirts all the way to the throat. But he's forgiven, because the track is so nice.
It's a clear sign of depravity.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I'm afraid that he was touched by the world of fashion, and he sort of slipped down from this nice sort of mysterious first track into much more common R&B territory. So his later work is slightly less interesting, I would say, to people with our interest.
But it's also a recent find, and I like the electronic vibe, and I think listeners can expect much more of this electronic stuff, because there are no boundaries in this podcast, basically. Yes, it's all dark, it has an edge. It can be goth rock from the 80s, but it can also be recent stuff or vaporwave or stuff like this. So as long as it has an edge and a nice story and it's dark, it has that right mood, we'll play it and discuss it. Talking about depravity, Jeroen, I have a great song about the depraved city that is Los Angeles. That's the one by The Fall. That's the last one of this trifecta we ended this with. It's from the album This Nation's Saving Grace. You're familiar with The Fall, I'm sure?
Yeah, definitely. Love it. Love them. Love Marky Smith, who just passed away, I think, about 1.5 years ago. Yeah. Something like that.
Spot on, sir. Yeah. Yes. And the album that this track is on was also the first experience I had with The Fall. I didn't really know them. I'm 40 years old, but started into digging up music 20 years ago, maybe. But I'm still bopping my head to this track with a smile on my face. And that's what he does. That's what Mark E. Smith can do. He doesn't take it too seriously. In fact, he has a certain style that, with a certain dédain to musicians or arty people, he doesn't appear to take it seriously. He did 32 albums and EPs. 32.
What a legacy.
Wow. Exactly. And it's all over the place, basically. It doesn't all fit my taste. In fact, most doesn't. But that doesn't matter, because this album is just great in its own musical right. And we heard the Stone Roses earlier. And the link I found when listening to this track together with you, Jeroen, is that the producer, or the sound producer, was John Leckie. He was responsible for that fantastic production on that first Stone Roses album, but also for The Fall's This Nation's Saving Grace. And
funny.
It was also,
you can hear it.
Really? Yeah.
You can hear it in the bass guitar specifically, the sound of the bass. I noticed that they sounded a bit alike, and I didn't think much of it. But here's the explanation.
That's a really great comment. So I got to listen to it all over again, which I love. But that bass, we're going to come back to that bass sound. Because he was also the man, this John Leckie, at the sound controls for Radiohead. Now, the Stone Roses, we just talked about that, but also the Verve during the 90s. And what a glorious sound it was. The energy and the production value is just great all over. But I'm taking sidesteps, so let's stick to The Fall and this track. The song starts off with a ridiculously catching bass riff. And here you go, Jeroen. There's that bass riff. It's common throughout this whole album, those bass riffs. Almost all the songs start off with really catchy bass riffs. And Mark Smith, who murmurs and mumbles his way through the lyrics like a drunk poet, is just a fucking awesome combination, in my head at least. I'm saying he was known for being an alcoholic, because he died. You just mentioned it. It was January of 2018. He was 60 years old, but he lived fast. And it's a miracle that he actually reached 60. He didn't take things too seriously, Mark. He messed up the artwork of this and more albums. And when people talked to him about it, he dismissed it as, yeah, it's a happy accident, or yeah, it's meant to be like that. He was also very popular for interviews, because he always had witty comments and like cynical and sarcastic statements to make. So he was doing well. A bit of more background. Mark formed the band after attending a Sex Pistols gig. Here we go again. Yes, I'm not even kidding. After attending a concert in 1976 from the Sex Pistols, he formed the band. And during their 24-year existence of The Fall, they had 60 musicians on board. 60 musicians. And, Mark Smith had a complex personality. The Fall would always be too divisive to become as popular as bands like Joy Division or Echo and the Bunnymen. Other bands of the time delivered the same cynicism as The Fall had, but they delivered it in a more digestible manner, if you will. luckily, Mark left us with 32 releases to enjoy. The lyrics are LA, uncanny, person, they have filled boulevards with white snow, scumball. That's all you will hear in this track, but you won't notice because there's a lot of in the background and a lot of background vocals, but it's just a couple of words, basically.
Yeah, I thought it was an instrumental at first. It doesn't even say anything until halfway through the track.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then he surprised me by these comments and sentences. Yeah.
Basically, this trifecta puts us to the end of this episode. So we'd like to thank you for tuning in and hope you liked it.
Yeah, definitely. So, thanks for listening. Hope you liked this episode. And please subscribe to never miss another one. If you want to subscribe, just go to our awesome site at www.theinfected.nl. Here you will find the links to subscribe directly on Spotify, Google or Apple Podcasts. But wait, there's more. On theinfected.nl, we also offer some great Spotify playlists in the spirit of The Infected, lots of music inspiration and a fine collection of all the songs we have played on the show so far. Also on theinfected.nl, the show notes of each episode with the stories and relevant links, and definitely not to be missed, exclusive interviews with artists from the scene, like this week's artist interview with Golden Plates, which is awesome and definitely worth a read. Very interesting comments. Theinfected.nl also brings you fully mixed sets of music, great for hours of continuous listening. And if you'd like to get in touch, say hi or suggest a track for us, Theinfected.nl also has a contact form you can use to reach us. If you enjoyed the show, please help us out with a nice rating on Spotify, Google or iTunes. And that's all for now. Thanks for listening. It's a nice, clear night out, so it might be a good time to walk out into the garden and lay down on your sacrificial altar. Sayonara, our children of the night. We'll meet again.
And dreadfully distinct against the dark, a tall white fountain plate.
Cells.
Cells.
Have you ever been in an institution? Cells.
Cells.
Do they keep you in a cell? Cells.
Cells.
When you're not performing your duties, do they keep you in a little box? Cells.
Cells.
Interlinked.
Interlinked.
What's it like to hold the hand of someone you love? Interlinked.
Interlinked.
Do they teach you how to feel finger to finger? Interlinked.
Interlinked.
Do you long for having your heart interlinked? Interlinked.
Interlinked.
Do you dream about being interlinked?
Interlinked.
What's it like to hold your child in your arms? Interlinked.
Interlinked.
Do you feel that there's a part of you that's missing? Interlinked.
Interlinked.
Within cells interlinked.
Within cells interlinked.
Why don't you say that three times? Within cells interlinked.
Within cells interlinked. Within cells interlinked. Within cells interlinked.
We're done. Constant K. You can pick up your bonus.